Man, how many of you have never enjoyed the cultural experience of going to the Fort Pierce Walmart? How many have never enjoyed that cultural experience? Let me see your hands. Wow, I've not seen most of you there before. But anyways, you never know what you're going to find when you go to the Fort Pierce Walmart. I live less than a mile from there, so I could ride my bike if I wanted, but I take my truck in case I got to get out quick. But it's a man, like last night, Linda and I, man, we went in there to go get, you know, our afternoon, you know, our stuff for church so she can do all that back there and everything. And as soon as we walked into Walmart, dude, there were bats, B-A-T-S, bats flying everywhere. Hundreds of bats in a Walmart. It's like, as far as you can see, there were bats everywhere. It was like, dude, those are bats. Linda's like, I think they're sparrows. I said, no, they're bats. They're like little birds. And they're back there. And I said, just stand still. Because I can remember Bible studies in Trinidad where we would sit there and we'd be doing Bible studies and the bats would come and fly like right next to your nose. The only way you get hit by a bat is if you try to like avoid a bat because they're really good. So I'm like, just don't try to knock them out of the air or anything. She's like, I'm not. and so we went and got our shop and it was really cool. Then the FWC guy came with a net and was just scooping them up. You never know what kind of cool treasure you will find at the Fort Pierce Walmart. That was fresh, man. But years ago, oh my goodness, years ago, you could ask Keone, when we walk in, I go all the way to the left, whether I need to or not, because there's a clearance aisle. That's where the good stuff is, dude. That's the stuff nobody else wanted or saw the value of. But anyways, man, years ago, probably 8 years ago, Keone's probably like one at the time. Man, I went over there and I turned the corner and it was like, oh! It was like, there it was. I didn't need it, but it was a deal. Anybody buy those? It was. Listen, all right, and don't mug me for it, all right, but look what I found? A pink Red Ryder BB gun, and it was brand spanking new. It was in the box. It wasn't even out of the box. I mean, it was brand spanking new, instructions, BBs, everything, a bright pink BB gun that was a Red Ryder BB gun. And I'm thinking, oh, one of my granddaughters, man. One of my granddaughter's going to love this. So I then took pictures of it and issued it out to the family. I said, first one to have a granddaughter wins this prize. First one to have this, you get to inherit this BB gun. And so anyways, Keone was there and nobody did anything for a while. And then all of a sudden Alana showed up. So, well, it's Alana's BB gun, all right? But it's a little big for her right now. In fact, every once in a while, she'll go to the gun cabinet, and she'll hold it and be like, yeah, it's a little big, but she's looking forward to the day that she can handle it on her own. How many of y'all remember that with your Red Ryder BB gun, you know? Now, I don't know, but man, she's looking forward to the day. Right now, it's hers. It's as good as hers. It's her inheritance. But, and maybe she'll get something else, I don't know, but that's her inheritance, a pink Red Ryder BB gun, man. But she's not ready for it yet. And that's where Paul takes us in the book of Galatians in chapter 4, when he tells us about our inheritance that we have from our Heavenly Father. Man, it's as good as ours, but we don't have it yet because we can't fully enjoy it. And I got to throw one more Chuck moment in there. Guess what Chuck can handle this week that he couldn't handle last week? God's glory. More of that inheritance now. He's able to experience the full glory of God in his glorified body. And so, again, as time goes on, as we get closer to the Lord, as we go with to the Lord, and then later, man, we have an inheritance that is just unbelievable. Man, but we're not ready to handle it. And so that's what we're going to look at today. I don't know if we're actually going to get there or not, because that's in Galatians. And where God has me first is actually looking at a synopsis of our salvation so we can kind of understand where that inheritance fits and what part of the inheritance we can have now, what part we have later, and what part we will have forever. But we are back in Galatians in the gospel of grace. Gospel is good news. The best news that man has is grace. Grace is the desire and ability to do what God has asked you to do. To be able to believe that Christ is our Savior. To be able to believe the Word of God. That is what grace is. It's a gift that God gives us that gives us freedom when we exercise faith. But again, as we live in our feelings,
as we live in our head. How many of y'all ever live in your head and you miss that freedom? You know, we're always fighting off our thoughts, we're fighting off our feelings, and we're fighting off our desires. And so freedom, when we have faith, we have freedom from those things. And that's a gift from God. And it's all for the purpose. The purpose of grace is to bring glory to who? Glory to God. So we're going to learn about our inheritance, but before we learn actually specifically about that, we've got to kind of just re-go over the synopsis of our salvation. And I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I don't know if we're going to get any farther than this today, but if we don't, this is where we needed to be. So Paul starts off in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. He says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." You. How many of y'all were dead in trespass and sins? Every one of y'all were dead in trespasses and sins. That's how we come into the world. We're born as a human, but we come in dead as a spiritual person. We are not alive spiritually. People do not come into this world as a child of God. Everybody's a child of God. No, that's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. Again, it's driven by our feelings because, oh, I just want to feel like everybody's a child of God. I feel like everybody should be a child of God. That's not what Scripture says. You're selfish. You're a child. You're a child of Satan is really what Jesus was telling the Pharisees. That's what he told people until they were born again. So you were dead in your trespasses. You were dead. And what he says, you're dead in trespasses and sins. Trespasses is this. What does it mean? How many of you ever got busted for trespassing? Anybody? Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, Kurt, what did you do? I mean, you just want to tell me, you know, did you meet Granny's double barrel shotgun with rock salt, stealing watermelons on the other side of the fence? Oh, I did. No, but anyways, go ahead. You went somewhere where you weren't invited. Not only were you not invited, but you weren't supposed to be there, right? And so God has set boundaries for the world, and his boundaries are his boundaries. It's the law, and he expects perfection. And every time we cross God's boundaries, that is a trespass, and that is called sin. So that's what we've done. Nobody's done everything right, and everybody's done something wrong. And then not only did we do the wrong thing, but he says, and sins. And this word sin is talking about a guy taking a bow and an arrow, and he's shooting the arrow at the bullseye. Can you imagine shooting the arrow at the bullseye? And what if Jim over here misses the bullseye this much, you know, and Jenna misses the bullseye that much, and somebody else, David, misses the bullseye this much? Which one won? Which one hit the bullseye? Nobody. And that's what he's saying. The bullseye is perfection. Nobody's hit the bullseye. None of y'all have hit the bullseye. None of us ever. So he says we're born dead because we're sinners. We cross God's boundaries and we don't achieve perfection. How many of y'all say, yeah, that's exactly how I came in the world? I was not perfect, and I passed where I wasn't supposed to be with God. So you were dead in your trespasses. Everyone come in this world is dead. He says, in which you once walked. So we walked in that. The whole world is walking, crossing God's boundaries and missing the bullseye. Again, what does the world do when they miss the bullseye? You saw the Charlie Brown commercial or cartoon back in the day where he was shooting arrows at a fence, right? Shooting all the arrows. And then he walked up with a piece of chalk and Lucy said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm circling the arrows. That way I can tell you that's the bullseye." And that's what the world does. The world determines what a bullseye is. The world sees what they can hit, and they said, oh, this is perfection. But God has told us in his word what perfection is. So he says, you used to walk chasing the world's bullseyes. You used to walk justifying going past the boundaries that God didn't want you to go past. You walked in all of that with everyone. That's how people come into the world. Following the course of this world. So you were following whatever the world said was right. Aren't you glad we don't do that anymore? Whew. Why? We don't have to. So, man, we make it a practice of doing what we're not supposed to do and not doing what we're supposed to do. We make it a practice of, oh, well, wait a minute. What are women supposed to look like now? Go buy a Barbie doll quick from this generation and let's see. Yeah, have y'all ever looked at Barbie doll figures over the years? Anybody ever seen that study? None of y'all seen the study? Dude, y'all need to Google it up, man, or go on Wikipedia. You can believe everything on that. But seriously, you look at women. Where do they get the... Vicky, where do women get the idea of what beautiful is right now? Are there magazines? Are there shows? Yeah, there's a media. Yeah. And so have you ever succumbed to what you're like, wow, that's kind of weird, but they say that's what beauty is, so I'm going to go ahead and do that? Yeah, absolutely. You do it all the time. No, I got, and you're beautiful, right? But by the world's, no, I'm just joking. I haven't got to pick on Vicky in a long, long time because she lives up in Vera now. But seriously, that's what the world sets the definition for us. And again, I wasn't picking on your feelings and grieving and all of that. Please, man, it's okay to cry. We're going to cry. But you can't let grief paralyze you. I don't care what the secular books say. There are paths that the world takes in all and everything that are not scriptural. Every time somebody tells you how to do something, go back to the Word of God and look, because he says this is what you once walked following the course of this world. And the church, I'm a pastor of a gospel preaching church. We believe in the Word of God, and it makes me angry when I listen to what pastors are preaching and I see what churches are doing, and it's what just following the course of this world. We live different. We act different. We follow a different mandate. We follow the Word of God. And when we don't, when we've messed up, how many of y'all messed up this week? How many of y'all messed up today? How many of y'all messed up since you've been at church? How many of y'all are messing up right now saying, God, you know what? He didn't get started till 10:30, man. How many of y'all messing up right now? Yeah? And so we follow, when we mess up, what is it? God convicts us that we've messed up. And what do we do? Do we redefine what messed up is and say, oh, no, that's okay now? You know, oh, it's okay for me to do this. I keep messing up in this way, so it's okay for me to do this, and we redefine it. What if a whole society redefines what messed up is and says it's not messed up anymore? Is it still messed up, Savannah? It's still messed up. But that's how the world justifies it. The church can't live that way. We look and I say, I messed up, but this is what God's word says. So together, as a body of believers, come, let's help each other achieve what God wants us to achieve and live the way God wants us to live. Everybody's welcome because we're all messed up. Y'all just admit that. Mary, you're messed up, right? Yeah, we're all messed up. Every one of us. So I don't care what your mess up is. Sin is sin is sin, and there's consequences for whatever sin you have, period. There's consequences for it. The consequences of each sin are different, but sin is sin. And when we're convicted of sin, we don't justify it, we don't okay it, we don't love it, we don't change it. What we do is we compare it to the Word of God, and we say, God, please fix us. God, please fix us. And how many of y'all need your brothers and sisters in Christ to help you fix it? That's why we're here. But he says, man, you were messed up in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. That's all you could do is walk in that, following the course of the world. How many of y'all remember when Oprah was the expert? Is she still alive? How many of y'all remember when Jerry Springer was the expert? You know, I'm just saying, man, we've had so many experts in this world. Dude, but who is the expert of everything? God. So we follow the course of this world. A news channel, a political, I'm not even going to go there in this, but we follow the course of this world. Following, look at this. The prince of the power of the what? Woo, say that one more time. The prince of the power of the what? What goes through the air? And I don't want you throwing out answers right now, but think of all the things that go through the air right now that we follow. In which you once walked, following the course of this world. The world is telling us where to go and what to do. Are they not? Dude, y'all remember television? Oh, tell a what? Oh, where are we going to get our vision from? From a stupid box. Remember what they used to call it at the beginning? People who weren't going to follow the television. They used to call it the boob tube. How many of y'all remember the boob tube? Why? Turn on the boob tube. Jack Johnson even wrote a song about it. I'm going to turn on the boob tube. I'm in the mood to obey. Yeah, there it is. They're telling me a vision. And in fact, on the television guide, there's going to be a guide. Y'all remember the little TV guide? Remember we used to have paper and all that? And what were all of the things that were put on the television called? Begins with a P and ends with O-gram. Programs, right? Programs? Y'all, what is a program? What is the definition of a program? Oh, look right here. We were once following the course of this world. A program, there's programming. Who in the world are they trying to program, Carissa? Yes, thank you. But now we've gone way beyond televisions. How many of y'all have that big box in your house, you know, giant box with tubes in the back, this wide? You know, how many of y'all still have one of those? Anyone? Honey, we were the last ones to get rid of it. No. And then we got flat screens, we got plasma, but now what do we have? Oh my goodness, what do we have? We can see the whole world. We can get everything. And, oh, my good, could you imagine if there were ever such a thing as logarithms where the powers that be could let you see everything that would make you feel like you are an expert and you are right? And if those same people sent something different to everyone, could you imagine something like that? So that they could divide the world and they could conquer because we are following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the what? And we used to look at that as that's where demons flew around, was in the air to get from place to place. The power of the air. Man, now it's not even here, dude. I think we have sold the Jetsons short. How many of y'all remember the Jetsons? You were like, we were supposed to be in the Jetsons. And what was the main thing we were waiting for the Jetsons? What? The flying cars. So guess what? We don't have flying cars. But go back and look at their teledoc. Go back and look at everything the Jets and Rosie the Maid. Some of y'all are like, well, I ain't got Rosie the Maid. Well, you know what? You ain't rich enough. You got a little what's that little thing called? Rumba. I think that's Rosie the Maid. I'm just saying, we're a lot closer. Because you know, how many of y'all got it right here on your watch? My watch tells me the tide. How many of y'all got a watch that just tells you everything? Whoops, somebody called. Whoops, somebody's there. Whoops, my sleep. Whoop, yeah. How many of y'all got? Yeah, what do you got? What did it just tell you, Vicky? Did it tell you the time? No, it told you everything but the time. Yeah, that's just like, yeah, if I want to dig down far enough in the programs, then I can see the time, you know. But yeah, how many of y'all absolutely hate when somebody uses their phone to call you and talk to you? Text me first and ask for permission, right? Again, you see, so there's so many, we're laughing about it. But how do you, anybody train dogs? You start routines, you train them with treats, man, and they know all about endorphins and dopamine and all that, and if you don't, you can certainly go on your watch and find out right now. Don't have to pay attention to me. But I'm just saying, look at this. In which you once walked, before we got any of this stuff, this was true in Paul's day. There's always been the course of this world for people to follow. Even Israel, man, back in the day, God said, here's the law for you, the judicial law. This is how I want you to live. And if you live according to these rules, Israel, you will not be able to fit in any other society. And if anybody ever wants to come in and live by your rules, they can fit in that society. They can fit in your society. But my rules are so different because I want you to represent me to the world. Now, when Christ died on the cross and everything ripped, it's no longer Israel representing God to the world. It's now the church that is representing God to the world. The church represents God to the world. But how can the church represent God to the world when we are walking and following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, doing whatever we're told, doing whatever we believe, following whatever new gadget, whatever. Man, Keone, we were watching the Super Bowl. Y'all watch the Super Bowl? How much were the cartoons? How much were the commercials this year for the Super Bowl, y'all? Linda, do you remember how much they were? Anybody remember? $3 million for 30 seconds or something like that or whatever. That's why I was asking Keone. I said, man, if you had $3 million, would you spend it on 30 seconds? He's like, no, that's stupid. And I'm like, yeah, but there's really smart people doing it, aren't there? He's like, yeah. And I said, you know why they're doing it? because they can change people's behavior in 30 seconds. Do you think that they could change your behavior in 30 seconds of pumping something into you? And the answer's got to be yes. Otherwise, they would not be spending that much money on that. So I say, Keone, what's important right now as to what you... Do you spend 30 seconds looking at anything? Yeah, because have you ever seen kids on the couch today with the new kitty crack on TV? You watching any of the new kid shows? Dude, Al, you watching any with your grand... Man, they're there, and you'd be like, Alana! They're like, whoa, 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 it's kitty crack. Do these people not know what they're doing? Yes, the world knows what they're doing. Satan is his name is deceiver. So again, he said, this is how you used to be, in which you once walked. Aren't you glad we don't walk in that way anymore? God, we do, and we got to stop. We got to live in what he talks about in a little bit here. He said, in which you once walked, following the course of this world. Here's the path the world tells me to take. That's where I'm going. Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So all the people that aren't at church, that are never going to church because they hate God verbally and outright hate, they'll just tell you they hate God, don't want nothing to do with God. Those are the sons of disobedience. Guess what? When we're not walking in the Spirit, we're following the same path as them. We have a different path. And not only are we supposed to be walking on that different path, but we're supposed to be leading others to do what, Russ? Just say God. Yeah, we're not only supposed to be walking on that path, but we're supposed to be leading others to walk on that path, which is what you're doing. I know I caught you. You were reading. I saw you reading, man. The sons of disobedience, we're following that same path. All right, look at this. Let's move on to something else. Among whom we all, what does all mean? How many of y'all were in all? Every one of us was in all. With whom we all once lived in, in this. We all have passions. We all once lived in the passions of our what? Our flesh. When we came to Christ, what did God do to our flesh? He killed it. He killed it. It's an empty shell. It's like finding one of those exoskeletons that we get over on the beach of a crab. It's a shell. There's nothing in it. That's all that's left. He killed the old man. We are now a new man that has desires to follow God, brings convictions when we don't, gives us power to be able to do the right thing. And he says, I beseech you, brothers, in Romans chapter 12, don't go back in your old exoskeleton. Make your body a living sacrifice, doing the right thing. Don't reject the flesh. But it says, we once lived in the passions of our flesh. We wanted everything the flesh had to offer. Carrying out the desires of the what? The body. How's that working for all us old people? do you still have carrying desires of the body? How many of you have desires, but there ain't never hope of ever fulfilling them again? I'm just saying. But you remember, man, you were carrying on the desires of the body. And how about the mind? The desires of the mind. Well, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. So again, it's all about what who wants? About who wants? Yeah, it's about what God wants, but for the unsaved person and us when we're acting that way, when we're not becoming a living sacrifice, it's what I want. It's my thoughts. It's my desires, and it's my feelings. So he goes, among whom we all once lived, we once lived in the passions of our flesh, those desires, carrying on the desires of our body, our mind, and we're by nature children of what? Why would he call us children of wrath? What does that mean? Children of wrath. How many of y'all have ever been had a child of wrath? What does it mean if you're like, Keone, you're a child of wrath? You know what that means? You're in trouble. Yeah. You were told, JJ is very good. He's like, okay, you've lost it. You've lost that privilege. You were told three times not to do that. Now you've lost it or whatever. That's the wrath of dad. Okay, you've done something. You've been warned by a merciful parent, a heavenly father. He said, don't do that or do this. And when we disobey in our sins and in our trespasses, when we miss the mark or when we purposely cross a boundary, man, when we do that wrong thing, there is wrath. But sin requires the wrath of who? How many of y'all think you could handle the full wrath of God for even one sin? One sin. Pick your best sin. What you think is the most nicest sin? No, they're all sin is sin. Just the consequences are different. But so sin brings wrath. The wrath of God, that's the penalty. That's the reward, if you will, of sinning. So we're doing, if we're doing this, man, this is what we used to be, children of wrath. Look at this, like the rest of mankind. So by sin, there's wrath that comes on us. But when we got saved, who took our wrath, y'all? Yeah, that's why he had to be God. Because no human could take any amount of wrath from the full wrath of God. We could barely take a little twig of God, you know, the fly swatter of God trying to correct us. But God's full wrath would kill us for one sin. When Jesus was on the cross at noon to three, when we think it all went down, he took the wrath of all the sins of all the people, of all the world, past, present, and future. He was God. He could handle it. We're man. We can. So he said, this is what the children of wrath, who think they're going to handle the wrath and not going to make it, this is what they do, like the rest of mankind. Okay, so that's how we come into this world. We come in as children of wrath. Here's the good news, man. But God, watch this. But God, being rich in mercy. What is mercy? Anybody, what's mercy? Jorgen, what's, oh, go ahead. Anna, what's mercy? Unmerited favor. Okay, that I'm going more with grace on that. That's grace is getting what you know, getting more than what you deserve. So what's mercy then? Not, what's that? Oh, not getting what you deserve. Have your parents ever had mercy on you and not giving you what you deserve? Yes, that's mercy. All right. Has their mercy, were they super rich in mercy? All your whole life they've been rich in mercy, or were there times where you're just like, no, they just needed some mercy lessons? Yeah. But look how you turned out, man. You turned out all right. There's still hope for this guy, right? So look at this. But God, being rich. Rich in what? You know, what do we consider rich? If you could be rich in anything, what would you be rich in? Look at this. God being rich in what? So God is, Carrie, God is was so good at not letting you get what you deserve. Do you understand that? Bob, you didn't get what you deserve. Man, even Selma, where's Selma, man? Selma, I know you don't think you deserve much, and I'm messing with you, but you didn't get what you deserve. How many of you are grateful you did not get what you deserved until God came and saved you? You understand right from the get-go, he could have had a giant fly swatter. How many of y'all ever had those electric fly swatters? How many of y'all ever touched one just to see if it worked, right? Dude, I this guy Chad told me to get one, so I got one. I had a bunch of flies one time. I did it, and I hit the fly. And I couldn't find the fly. I think he got disintegrated. God could do that to you right from the get-go, but he didn't because he's rich, filthy rich in what? In mercy. Man, filthy rich in mercy, but God being rich in mercy because of his great what? In which he loved us. How many of y'all can look at somebody in this room and say, God needed a lot of love to love that person? How many of y'all saw that person in the mirror? Yeah. But look at this one verse right here. Look at this to hang on to see what we have. Man, we were walking in destruction, we were chalking up an account of wrath that we deserve day to day. But God, rich in mercy because of his great love for which he loved us. Why did he save you? Because he what? Loved you. It was just out of love. It wasn't that, wow, that person, I can use them later. Well, they're a human resource that I'll need. Matthew Zimba, I think I'm going to save him because he's got some pretty cool hands and he can play drums and we'll need him at Driftwood one day. Is that why he saved you? No, he saved you because he loved you. That's why he saved us.
But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love in which he loved us, look at this, even when we were dead in our trespasses. When did God love you? How long? Charlie, how long has God loved you for? Forever. And in fact, Romans chapter 8, I think it's chapter verse 29, after the verse we all like, you know, and we know that all things work together for good, that to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, right? And the next verse in there tells us our predestination is to be like Christ. It talks about through his foreknowledge. That word knowledge is the word gnosko, and it's an intimate relationship. When the Bible says Joseph did not know Mary until after Jesus was born, that means he didn't have an intimate relationship with her until after that. It doesn't have to be physical, but that word gnosko is intimate, an intimate loving relationship, and foreknowledge that is talking about God having that intimate relationship with us for how long, Charlie? Forever. Yes, and that's the point of this. He's loved you forever, which means you've had an inheritance forever, but you're not ready for the pink Red Ryder BB gun, Charlie. You're just not ready for it yet. And you especially weren't ready when you weren't saved. So he goes and says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he what? What did he do to you? He loved you. When you were a yahoo and you were crossing all the boundaries and missing the mark always, he loved you. Because he doesn't see you as all those trespasses. He sees you as you're going to ultimately be. And who are we going to ultimately be like? Christ. He's already given us an inheritance. God's pretty good at predicting the future, isn't he? Because he's pretty good at making it. Making it happen. So even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. So he made us alive. Man. How many of y'all can make somebody alive? Roadkill, I challenge you. You see some roadkill today. Get out. I don't care. You know, I challenge people with bad theology this all the time who think we have all the kingdom rights right now and so on. Say, go ahead. You start at the hospitals. You start at the hospital. Start with the roadkill. Let's see you make it alive. When we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive with Christ because when we came into this world, we were what? We were dead. Dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins. So we had to be made alive together with him. Jules, was it because you answered all the questions? You got 100 on his test. God gave you a test, said, you can answer all this. You can have salvation, Jules. Here we go. No, is that what he said? No, you were dead. You didn't have a pencil. He made you alive, gave you a pencil, gave you the test, gave you the answers, and that's what he's doing to this day. He makes us alive. How much, Charlie, I asked you before, maybe in one of our other Bible studies, how much did you have to do with your first birth? Absolutely. You promised? How many of y'all, did any of y'all have anything to do with your first birth? Your human birth? No. And you had even less to do with your spiritual birth. So when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with who? Together with Christ. And it says, by grace, that's the gift, the word charis, by grace you have been saved. So the only reason you're saved is because God loved you and he gave you a what? A gift to be saved. Nothing to do with you. Look at this next part here. He says, and raised, is that good, Jenny? Okay. And look at this. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. So when he made you alive, read this with me if y'all will. Once he made you alive, he raised you up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, how many of y'all remember that seat? How many of y'all remember what that was like? Again, it's something that's going to be future, fully realized in the future. But if God said it's going to happen, then what's going to happen? What God said is going to happen. So when he speaks of things as it's a done deal. Because in his economy, nobody's stopping him from making what he wants to happen happen. And this is where we're going to be. But positionally, this is where we're at now. He raised us up with him. were in Christ, like the backpack last week, and seated us with him in the heavenly places. So eventually, where are we going to be? We will be in heaven and we will be seated with Christ. And that's what we're going to learn later today if we get far enough, is that our inheritance, the inheritance we have, we inherited God. And when we inherited God, we inherited everything that Christ possesses. That's what Scripture tells us. But for now, okay, he raised us up with him. How many of y'all have actually been to heaven and sitting on that seat yet? Anybody? But he says you're there. So how do we get there? Is it a physical thing or is it a spiritual thing? It's a spiritual thing, and the spiritual things have to be accomplished through faith. There's many things in Scripture that do, that does, I can't pull that off. I can't pull that off in the flesh. No, it's by faith we believe this. So again, it says, and raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we live. We are in this world, but we're not of this world, is another way that it's said in Scripture. But in this, so he said, seated us with him in the heavenly places. So when you need some kind of advice, when you need advice, where do you go? Do you go to Oprah or do you go to the heavenly places? We're going to the heavenly place. Yeah, Oprah is probably, I don't know, isn't she like buying property in Hawaii or something like that right now? Anyways, but the heavenly places, that's where we live. We're living in the heavenly places. We're living in that's our future. That's our present. We don't get our marching orders from the earth. We don't get our marching orders from the world system, from the prince of the air. We get them from God. We live in the heavenly places. So concerning Chuck's passing, man, Chuck's physically there, but where are we living? Are we living here in our own sadness, in our own grief? And we mull over it over and over. And again, we have a professional counselor here
that she's probably like eating and like, no, there's this.
But literally, we're not.
No, she's not disagreeing in this part. She'll call me later if there is. But again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with your feelings. But we can't live there. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith. Where is Chuck right now? Dude, how about Gary? Y'all remember Gary? Do you know the reason Chuck, one of the reasons Chuck came to church and came to the Lord is because for years, Gary had been praying for him? Do you understand back in the day, Gary was one of the guys who ran one of the first surf shops in Fort Pierce. And when Chuck and his brother came wanting to get into the industry, Gary was the one who helped them with the contacts and got them the contacts they needed and got them into the industry. Remember Gary, the dude dancing with the bass we used to have? Where's Gary at right now, y'all? He's in heaven. And he prayed. In fact, the first time Chuck came to Bible study, I called Gary, and Gary's like, no way. And Gary called him, you need to get to church, man. And because Gary had led Chuck down the wrong path for so many years. And Gary found the right path. So now Gary was like, Chuck, I want to help lead you down the right path. Does that sound familiar at all, Eric? Man, this is what you told me. Man, Chuck led us down some of the wrong path. And now Chuck's on the right path. Dude, I want that right path. That's how God uses people in that. But we're living in the heavenlies. Where's Gary? Heaven. Where's Chuck? They're in heaven. Do you think they really want to be sitting here doing this right now? No. So when we're mourning, we're like, oh, it's not for Chuck. Yes, it's for us. But again, just like I told you before, man, the greatest thing that you could do to honor Chuck or honor Gary or honor anyone that's passed on, that's in heaven, is take the things you admired most about them and implement those things into your life. So you know what was a new thing that I admired most about Chuck in the last couple of years, Tom? Is that sometimes when the Holy Spirit convicted him about dropping in on people, he actually went over and apologized. That would have never been heard of. No, dude. He would have got the whole posse to beat the person he dropped in on if they complained, right? But now, so what can you do when you drop in on somebody? Honor Chuck and go apologize, man. Again, so the heavenlies, we get down in the earthlies. We're down in the earthlies. George Mueller, anybody ever read George Mueller? Man, go read his books. They're like 99 cents on Amazon or whatever. George Mueller was an aristocrat back in the day.
And in England back in the day, and aristocrats had money and the urchins had none, so you didn't mix the lines, man. There's no middle class. And he got called to have an orphanage, and he started orphanages. Go read George Mueller's stuff, man. And God put it on his heart right from the beginning in these orphanages, don't ever ask anybody for money or supplies. You only ask me. And there were so many cool stories. One time, maybe I've shared this one before, but one time he's got all these orphans and they didn't have any milk. They had dinner, but no milk. And he's like praying, dear God, man, God, we're grateful for the food. We're grateful to be together, but God, we have no milk. And right at that time, a knock on the door and a milk truck broke its wheel right in front of his orphanage. Who do you think orchestrated that? God made an instant pothole. It broke, or a pothole, and it broke. And the guy said, hey, I have got a whole cart full of milk. Do you know anybody that could use one? Well, as a matter of fact, and story after story after story. And you know what one of his most famous sayings was? Master the heavenly uplook as opposed to the earthly outlook. So when you find yourself in the earthlies, oh, when you find yourself on this adventure with you know, this guy right here, with Al, Teresa, last one was a pretty good one, you know, your little rendezvous point. You find yourself on, and you're looking earthly at the adventure. Master the heavenly uplook and not the earthly outlook, because that's what he's doing. You're like, did you see this? Do you know this truck has no brakes anymore? Did you know this? I don't care what happens here. I'm just looking at God. Yeah. Master that have live in the heavenlies, man. So he's raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we spend eternity. And he goes on and says, so that in the coming ages, in the coming ages, and by the way, Ephesians, as far as we're going to go today, for those of you that are, I hear your stomachs. Somebody over here has got that boing, 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 boing. Someone over here has got that going on. Is that you, man? No? All right. But so that in the coming ages, he, God, might show the immeasurable riches. What are two things we know about his riches right now? Go back before. He was rich. We were dead, trespassed, man, thought by the grace. Oh, there we go. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. How rich is he? Look at this next verse. Take me there, JJ. It's immeasurable riches. How many of y'all have immeasurable riches? Everybody should be raising your hand because you inherit what Christ has. But on your thinking on this planet, I looked at my bank statement today and I can easily measure my riches. I know where my paycheck's going. I can easily measure my riches. Guys, look what it says about God, the God that loves you, the God that you work. He's the CEO of your corporation. Dude, he's in charge. If this hotel doesn't work out and you need a new one, God's like, no problem. Wait, and I'll send you to a different one. Whatever you need, he provides. And his riches are what? What's the I word, y'all? Immeasurable. So how many of you have thought this week about your measurable riches? If you think about your measurable riches, think about his immeasurable and think about who you work for. Think about who's your daddy? Think about who your daddy is, so that in the coming age he might show the immeasurable riches. He's already got those immeasurable riches. He's using them, but he's going to show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness, how good grace is in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So what he's talking about is that right now he could be showing all of that if we will stay in the heavenlies and stay out of the earthlies. Help the people on earth see life from God's perspective by starting to see it that way ourselves. Check the things that you post. Check the things that you read. Check the things that you believe with the Word of God. Because the devil sneaks it in. We've got to have it from God's Word. And so, man, we can be living in having, as JJ prayed, that God would do something so supernatural only he would get blamed for. We can have that now and be a part of it every time he wants it to happen. But one day when we see all the people in heaven, one day when we see who we are sitting next to Christ, when we have our inheritance, can you imagine, what does Christ possess? And in Romans chapter 7, it says we inherited that. Whatever Christ owns, we inherited that also. So the coming age, he's going to show immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us, but it's in Christ Jesus. It's through Christ Jesus. So understand, that's what we have in the future. We have what we need here more than what we ever take advantage of and what we use. We've got to keep our mind, master that heavenly outlook, not the earthly outlook. Look at this next part, and this is the part you usually see. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace is the Greek word charis. It means a gift. God chose one day, Marley, to give you a gift, man. He gave you a gift, and it was the ability. You believe that what God's word says is true, Marley? Do you believe he's your only way to salvation? You believe that. You know what? You used to think it was stupid. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says it, and all of us thought it was stupid. We didn't understand it, but he gave you a gift to understand that. Man, that's the gift. And through that gift comes faith to be able to keep walking in that. You know, it's a really cool story. A really cool story how Chuck ended up here and how his whole thing happened. Marley wanted to go to the Bible study that JJ had with a bunch of the surfers and stuff. But, you know, as big and brawny and awesome as Marley is, Marley's a very humble, meek person. And he just kind of was like, yeah, I don't know. And Chuck's like, come on, man, I'll take you. I know all those little groms, you know. So Chuck kind of grabbed him and took him over to the Bible study. And as he takes him over to the Bible study, I hadn't really talked to Chuck in a long time. I mean, we changed it under towels in the parking lot next to each other. We didn't talk or anything, but and he brought him over to brought Marley over there, and then Emily, I think it was, said, oh, the adults meet across the street. And Chuck just kind of walked across the street, opened the door into Terry and Fernanda's house. He said, Eddie, what's going on? Can I come to the Bible study? Like, yeah. And he never left. That's how it all, man, God had plans. See how God's used everybody and all. You guys, when you built that house, who would have known that was what was going to happen in there and all the things that have happened? But again, that's from mastering the heavenly outlook as opposed to the earthly outlook. Were there enough things in the earthly outlook to make you not build that house there? Yeah. Satan didn't want that house in that neighborhood. But look at all that God has done in that neighborhood since God brought you. So again, by grace, you've been saved. It's a gift from God through faith. God gives you the faith through grace, the gift. The faith is in that gift. So believe God's word. In everything, give what? Thanks. How many of y'all are like, yeah, you didn't experience what I experienced today. You didn't feel. No, in everything, give thanks. How about when he tells us we have peace, but you don't feel like you have peace, but God's word says you have peace. What do you do with that, Ann? You have a whole mountain of evidence saying, I do not have peace right now. There is more chaos in my life than anything, but God's word says I have what? So you got to believe what? By faith. I have peace. And you walk in that peace and know that you have perfect peace when you keep your mind focused on him and not all of the other circumstances and situations. Go look in the Word of God and see all the things God says you have and you are. But we let the world's circumstances dictate, like we did when we were lost. We need to be in the Word. We need to know by faith what God says we have. So for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God. You had nothing to do with this. God did it. He chose you. You ever look in the mirror and wonder why he chose you? Man, all the time, I can't even believe that he would choose me. So look, he says, it's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Nobody can say, well, I did more to get my salvation than the other. It was a gift from God. No one can boast. If we're going to boast, we boast in who? We boast in the Lord. Look at this next part, and we're almost done. We are his what? Yeah. Man, you're a work of art. Anybody ever told you that? Boy, you're a work. You're a work in progress. You're a piece. You know, I mean, we're Christ's workmanship. So who's the one working on us? Yeah, who's the artist? God. And everything we encounter
is a divine and is a divine appointment. It's a divine encounter. It's all there to shape us into the image of Christ. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Jim, what were you created for? Look what it says. Created in Christ Jesus for what? Yeah, for good works. That's what you're created for, good works. Selma, you're created for good works. Sophie, good works. Every one of us are created for good works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're created for that. Where's that? If Dominic, he got that impact. You have a surf. You still have surfboards, right? You didn't quit surfing like me, right? You got surfboards. What? And you are also a carpenter, right? What if one day you worked up to a job and you had a carpentry job, but you forgot your hammer, and you decided, I'm going to take the surfboard I have and use that as a hammer? Well, it would be a total disaster, wouldn't it? Because the surfboard was created to surf and the hammer was created to pound. You were created for good works. So whatever's going on in your life, God set you up for good works in that. But you need to see it from his perspective. You need to master the heavenly outlook, not the earthly outlook. You need to use his grace, the power, desire, the ability he gives you to turn it into to use it for a good work. It says, look at this. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, in case you were thinking God flew by the seat of his pants and he's like, oh, Terry's there. Oh, you know what? There's a good work. Let's do this. Hey, Terry, don't miss this good work. It's right. You know, that God just kind of pulls them up, you know, as they're happening. Look at this. Which God prepared. So the good works that we are set up to do, it says God prepared beforehand. When did he prepare them? When was beforehand? Hey, Kenny, is Kenny still here or did he leave? Oh, Kenny, what is beforehand? How long ago did God prepare all the good works for you to do? Before the foundation of the world. So, you know what? The world's got logarithms, right? They've got this social disorder. They've got a plan, you know. But before they ever even came up with a plan, God's got a plan for you. And it's a plan for good works. So whatever it is you face on a moment-by-moment basis, it's an opportunity for good works. For we are his workmanship. He's working on us to make us look like who? Christ. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before the foundation of the earth, that we should do what? Yeah. You remember the first? We have a choice. We can walk in the way of the world like we did before we were saved. If that's where our head is, that and that's where our desires are, and that's where our emotions are, we'll be just like the world. But if we keep our head in heaven, keep our head in Christ, man, we'll see the good works that he wants to do that are so supernatural and he can get blamed. And we're walking with him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, this is not at all, this is just the introduction to what I was supposed to preach and wasn't even going to take this long for it. But you and your sovereignty brought this up. Didn't even get to Galatians today about our inheritance, but this is what I needed to hear and this is what somebody else needed to hear. You brought us, this is what you gave me to feed this congregation today. So Father, I pray that each person would take what your Holy Spirit has put in their heart and they would implement it. Father, help us to master the heavenly outlook as opposed to the earthly outlook. Father, help us to not walk in the paths of this world, but walk in the path that you created for us. Help us, Father, to, as we're walking in your path, to invite others out of the path of the world, to walk into the path that you've designed. Father, that's how you saved us, was with other people who are walking down the right path. So, Father, use us in a mighty way. Help us to understand our value. Help us to understand who we are in Christ, what you took us from, and what you brought us to, and where we're going to end up. And help us not to go backwards, back into what we used to be. Not to be deceived. Help us to live in the truth in everything we do.
pray for these things in Jesus' name.